Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Pat Rice and Jason Ophir, only on Paranormal Horizons. Tonight's guest is Archbishop Ron Fail, presiding bishop and chief exorcist of the Order of Exorcists, the Sacred Order of St. Michael the Archangel. Stay tuned with us this evening as we discuss demons, the paranormal, and possession. Paranormal Horizons, only on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening out there in Internet Radio Land. I'm Pat Rice.
And I'm Jason Ophir.
And we are here this evening for about an hour for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well also. I'm so happy to see that the weather has warmed up and, you know, just kind of overall makes you feel good, I guess, when it gets warmer. At least that's how I feel. But, yeah, I missed the show last week, Jason. I apologize. But I did get the opportunity to listen to it. And it was a really interesting show where you were, you know, talking with Judy and Will about conspiracy theory topic.
Yeah, it was an interesting show, and it turned out really well. I explained this during the show, is I didn't realize how much I knew about conspiracy theory. You know, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I think I'm pretty well versed on it, and I think we need to start integrating a little bit more conspiracy theory into the lineup.
Yeah, I think we should, too, because it's an interesting topic. And just to remind everyone out there, if you want to listen to last week's episode or any of the others, you can always get those on the archived episode list on Blog Talk Radio Paranormal Horizons. So check that out. And we've got a great guest this evening, Jason. His name is Archbishop Ron Fail, and he is with the Order of Exorcists with the Catholic Church. And I have actually chatted with him before, and I think you have also, and he's really interesting.
Yeah, he's, I think this is the first time that we've actually discussed this subject on this particular show, and I'm really excited about it because it truly is fascinating, and I think we're really going to get a good glimpse into kind of the darker side of the paranormal. You know, a lot of things that people don't normally see. You know, we see a lot of things that are in movies, but I mean, with movies, you never know what's real or not. So I think we are going to get a true inside, experience and opinion on what's going on in terms of demons and possession and things of that like.
Right. I agree with you, Jason, and especially, you know, when you talk with someone like Archbishop Fail, he's a Catholic priest, and they take this really seriously, and they have a method where they, you know, someone contacts them and says, hey, you know, I've got a possession in my house. Well, they have an assessment method that they go through. They have a medical process that they go through. They really drill down into the facts to determine if there really is a possession. And they believe, you know, in evil and in the demonic spirits, if you will, and then they go to the home or wherever to help those folks. And, you know, it's a nonprofit organization. They don't charge to do this. They do it because they're there to help, and Archbishop will tell us more about that. But, you know, this isn't just some, you know, like you're saying, airy, fairy, you know, crazy thing. You know, it's taken very seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very serious. You know, I do recall a few of the stories that he had mentioned in the past, and they're terrifying. And a lot of people that listen to the show know I'm kind of a skeptic on the whole thing. But I'm a little nervous, too, because he had mentioned in a post earlier this afternoon that, you know, sometimes when he does these shows, things tend to go wrong. So I'm a little nervous about it, you know, just talking about it, you know, who knows, maybe that will open something up. So I'm keeping myself
slightly
protected.
Well, and I have
protected.
To admit, and if our friend Dave Harms is listening to the show tonight, there was a, when I used to do a show with him called Super Unknown, and that's when I first met Archbishop, and we interviewed him, and I got a little creeped out, and I, you know, left the radio station, and I told Dave, it was dark. It was like in the winter or something, so it was already dark, and it was cold, and here where I live in a rural area, it's really dark. And I remember driving back up to my house and, like, literally pulling up by my door and just running into the house as fast as I could because I don't know, you know, just all that talk. And I kind of put some white light around myself for protection because I got a little scared. And I have no reason to think that I would, you know, be having some demonic activity, but it can be a little disturbing topic.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest. I probably will be a little freaked out tonight. So I'll have to spend some time getting my mind off the subject before I go to bed at night. Because, unfortunately, I'm just one of those individuals that's very suggestible.
Yes, I hear you. Me too. But before we get Archbishop on the line here in just a few minutes, what's going on in the world? I haven't been able to keep up with any news stories or any interesting tidbits. Do you have anything to share with the audience tonight, Jason?
Yeah, I did come across one story, and, you know, there's so much going on in the paranormal world. I mean, you know, it's just so many stories to grab from, but I did quickly grab one to share this evening on the show. And basically what it consists of is a man was watching a baseball game on television and was startled when something came crashing through his window. The man got up and found a large dent in the back of his television and noticed a large unknown metal object laying on the floor. What was weird about it was the object was hot enough to burn into his carpet. Now, he contacted the police, who then took the object to an airport, and the airport wasn't able to identify the object and suggested that maybe it had come off a car. What's interesting about it is that it's really not possible to have come off a car because he lives on the third floor of an apartment complex and the window that was broken faces an alley, so there's no real cars screaming through there. So it's kind of weird. They couldn't explain where this thing came from.
That is
just
bizarre.
I know, and nobody knows what it is. You know, and I'm sure there's probably some sort of explanation to it, but, I mean, can you imagine sitting there watching a game and then having this thing crash through? And it was so hot, which, you know, if it came off an airplane, you'd think it would have cooled down, you know, before it actually went through the window. So the only thing that I can think is that it must be some sort of space debris. I mean, how random is that?
I know. Yeah, and boy, that would really kind of scare me if I was sitting in my front room and something like that happened. I remember years ago when I lived in San Francisco, I was sitting in my house doing something, and the local kids blew up the mailbox, you know, where you put your – people would drop their mail in for the postman to pick up, and that was like a bomb going off, and, you know, I like – had to take cover. I mean, that's a different story, but it's just so shocking when you're relaxing and something like that happens. So I can only imagine how the poor guy felt, but and then really not even knowing what it was.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, there are some stories over history where people have been hit by meteorites and stuff like that, but you can only imagine, you know, I'm sure it's not from a UFO or anything extraterrestrial, but you can imagine all that space debris floating around up in the atmosphere that comes down all the time.
Well, I understand there's more and more of it, too.
I bet you it's like a junkyard up there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like garbage up in space now. But that's just a bad thought, Jason. You know, we got enough garbage on the planet, but, you know, without polluting space. But, oh, I don't know, leave it to us humans to figure out a way to do that, huh?
Yep.
Well, so. Sorry. I was kind of doing a roar there, but do you want to go ahead and give Archbishop a call and
yes,
see if he's available to chat with us?
Yes, he should be expecting our call. Now, I will let the listeners know that this is actually the first time we've made a call from the studio. So hopefully this will work. I've plugged in the digits and going to hit dial. I've done it on another show, but I've never actually done it for Paranormal Horizons. So hopefully the spirits will not interfere with getting in contact.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing one of our little promos while you did that.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Archbishop.
Hello there.
Fail. This is Jason O'Keefe.
Yes.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. And yourself?
Oh, we are doing good, and we're really excited to hear about some of your experiences this evening.
Oh, really?
And we are
Hi,
live
Archbishop.
Right now.
Hi, Archbishop.
How are you? Is that Pat?
It is. How are you?
How are you, Pat?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there. I've had some ups and downs, you know, with some family stuff in my life, but I'm hanging in there.
Well, yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, life goes, but, you know, that's how life is. But it's nice to chat with you again, and I hope that you've been well. It's been probably about a year since I've talked with you.
I think so, yes. So how are things going, and what shall we talk about?
Well, you know what everybody always wants to talk about when they talk to you, so.
Yeah, no, it's not politics, that's for sure.
I know, and we did give the audience kind of an overview, Archbishop, of the order of exorcists that you are involved in, but I'd really like you to tell the audience, you know, a little bit more, you know, kind of about the order and, you know, how it works and, you know, just kind of give us an overview, and then I know we'll have a lot of other questions after that.
Okay, well, first we have an organization that's an international organization. We have members in 24 countries, and we're in about 14, 15 states here in the United States. Majority of our people who are members in our order are clergy, and many of them are priests and bishops from various jurisdictions. We have laity that are also investigators. Now, these are individuals who come to us with a background of paranormal investigations. And demonic investigations and paranormal investigations are two different things. So what we do is we train our people what to look for. And we're all about evidence. We need to have facts. And so we train our people to collect as much evidence as possible in the form of photographs, videos. If it's a question of the individual possibly being possessed by a demon, then we require a psychological and a physical profile. And this is submitted to my office. And in our order, we have two medical doctors who are also members in our order. One's actually a priest and an exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
what they do is they would make their recommendations after reviewing the reports that are submitted to us. And then based on that, I would make a decision as to whether or not this is a valid case of possession, and if so, then we would go on from there. At that point, I would assign a priest to the case. They would go out, and again, understand, this is after all the evidence has been submitted, and it's beyond any reasonable doubt that this person is truly possessed by a demonic entity.
Right.
And this is after the psychological profiles and possibly psychological illness is ruled out. We make sure that everything is not questioned in regard to a possibility of mental illness. And if we see something, whether it be through the assessment that our investigators would perform, if we see anything that looks like it's no doubt a true possession, then we would proceed from there.
Right.
The organization has been, actually it's been around since 1981. So I've been around for quite a few years. A lot of our clergy and investigators are relatively new, and of course we have a turnover, but we're constantly recruiting clergy as well as investigators.
Sure. So you've actually been with it since the start, since 1981?
We were a Catholic parish in Los Angeles, and we had outreach programs that were servicing the communities of Glendale and Eagle Rock. And we started getting inquiries and requests for priests to come out and talk to family members in regards to possible symptoms of demonic possession.
Mm-hmm.
Demonic possession is so rare that, it's almost ruled out immediately if a psychological and a physical examination is not done, when we can't even consider it truly being a possession.
Right.
But these cases had to be assessed, and of course, as the we started doing this, and the requests started to come in from outside our physical area, then at that point we decided to start recruiting clergy from other jurisdictions, other cities, states, and so on. And
so it's actually been since 1981. You've probably seen, it sounds like it's really grown.
I think, the problem in terms of the increasing amount of cases that are being presented are it seems quite enormous because of our delivery system, which is, of course, the internet and,
mm-hmm.
and of course, our advanced technology. So we're able to actually receive more requests and screen them. I think in terms of case numbers, they were probably the same, I'd say maybe 100 years ago, perhaps even 1,000 years ago. But of course, back then, we didn't have the modern technology that we have now.
Yeah.
So as a result, we could actually receive these cases in quantities. And unfortunately, sometimes they come in and we're not able to send anyone out because for some reason we may not have a member in that city or state. And so we're constantly recruiting new people.
I see.
I was going to ask you, you kind of mentioned that the whole possession thing is rare. How rare would you say it is? I mean, out of 1,000 cases that come across your desk, how many would you say are like truly proven to be possession?
Let's say out of 100 cases, we might get one. And that's if the evidence shows that it's truly a possession. There are people that think that they could race out and do an exorcism if someone has stated that they are possessed. But the truth of the matter is a demon will do all it can to hide itself. And the last thing it would want to do is call out for help. and ask the group to perform an exorcism. That's the last thing a demon wants to do. A demon wants to hold on as long as possible and will conceal itself. So as a result, we train our people not to make any assumptions, not to jump to any conclusions until we go through the process of elimination, if you will. So we have to make sure that that it's truly a case. Understand there has been for many years now the new science of psychological profiles and psychological illness and psychosis and so on. And this is true, has been true since the time of Christ. However, you know, now that we have we can use a scientific approach, if you will, and rule out any of the things that may appear to be obvious signs of possession. Schizophrenia, for example, is a mental illness that people may have and may demonstrate, and it may appear to be that they may be possessed. This is why it's so important to make sure that the people who are coming to us have been evaluated, that there's an assessment done, and we go through the channels. It may take anywhere from 2 to 3 months from the first stage to the final stage, which would be an actual exorcism. And that, again, that's if it's a truly real scenario for a demonic possession.
And in your experience, what would you say is the most frequent way people get themselves in position to become possessed? Is it drugs? Are they playing with Ouija boards? I mean, how do people typically get to a position where, you know, they're having those kind of spiritual issues?
You know, it's interesting. If a person has a brain and is able to think and wonder, and it's a person's fascinated over things that are unexplained, they basically leave themselves wide open. People who are interested in the paranormal, for example, it's a fascinating field. However, you do leave yourself wide open because of the possibilities that could be. And as soon as that occurs, then, of course, you know, that person is let me put it this way. The majority of the cases that come to us for people who have some kind of spiritual attachment all the way down to an infestation or even possession, these would be people who are paranormal researchers and investigators. Majority of them come to us because they've been in the field and they've allowed themselves to be exposed to the spiritual elements that are in existence in our world. We live in a spiritual world, and everything around us can see the possibilities of things happening. The good and evil's always been in existence, but it's our belief system that evil, of course, comes from the from Satan. So,
well, I was kind of nervous I was nervous just about talking about this show, and I'm getting all paranoid just talking about it.
Well, as you said, the person who is truly open to this does leave themselves wide open. If you play with a Ouija board, there are some practitioners that believe that it's a wonderful way to communicate to people who have passed on and communicate with spirits around them. But unfortunately, when you do that, you're opening yourselves up to all types of evil entities. The demonic is just waiting for someone to open the door. And when you're with a Ouija board, the first thing you're asking is, are you there? Who are you? And then you start asking questions. And before you know it, you're exchanging communications with a spiritual entity. And Satan and all the demonic forces, they love to disguise themselves as the angel of light, and they'll come like an angel of mercy or a guardian angel, and they'll totally have you fooled until you're so caught up in that scenario, and then you have some real major problems. And it always starts with an infestation. There's three types of attacks that the demonic will use. Of course, one is demonic oppression, and then there's demonic possession and demonic infestation. Now, demonic oppression would be a mild to severe harassment by some evil spirit who has actually decided to attach themselves to you, if you will. The entry point is always the mind. And as a result, a person can become extremely waved by the demonic forces. And this could also lead to possession. Demonic infestation is probably the most common. This would be like a haunted house or some type of poltergeist activity even. Demonic infestation is when the demonics have the roam of whether it's a location, a house, building, and they were either invited intentionally or unintentionally. They were invited into that space, and as a result, they have the roam of that area. And then, of course, the next step, of course, would be demonic oppression. Demonic possession is, as I said, extremely rare, but it does happen. I have seen things, and many of our members who have been involved in real cases of demonic possession can tell you that they've seen the victim levitate 4, 5, 6 feet above the bed, if you will. They could tell you that they've seen things that would be totally unbelievable. In fact, the first time I was ever confronted with an actual spiritual entity, I was so thrown back. Now, it's one thing to have the head knowledge that, of the existence of these evil entities. It's another thing to actually experience and come in. It can be very frightening and even pretty scary.
So, Archbishop, going back to the infestation, so, and you talked about that might be like a haunted house or maybe a house where, you know, somebody says there's spirits in there or whatever, but is the infestation something that your group would go to and try to get those evil demonic spirits to leave if you determined that that's what was there? Would you do something like that?
One of the things that we do is we seek proof. We seek proof, and once we have the proof, then we collect all the evidence, and then we make our plan of action, if you will. An infestation that is most common can be something that may be mistaken for as a demonic oppression of an individual in that household. What we do is we go down, we make first contact, we do a first contact interview. Then at that point, our investigators will conduct what we refer to as demonic investigation. And that is not to... it's not to just investigate to prove the existence of some kind of spirit or ghost, but rather to go in there and collect evidence, whether it's the odors, the sounds, the walls bleeding, which has happened in a few cases, where there's real evidence that there's some type of infestation going on, where you could see the physical manifestations. And when we have proof and we have the evidence, then we take it to the next level. And we get involved, and we might start off with just the first contact interview, make an assessment based on the evidence, and then take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
If the investigators feel that it's a true demonic possession case, then we have them obtain medical and psychological reports from the individual.
Okay.
And make an assessment from there. Our doctors who are in the order would review the reports, and they would send me their recommendations, and then based on that, I would see who's available to act to perform a ritual. Again,
yeah.
Exorcism could be a house blessing. It could be, it doesn't necessarily have to be an individual. They're animals that have been possessed by the demonic. There have been really, really somewhat bizarre things people don't even hear about. But when they do occur, we try to get involved. And, of course, we try to make ourselves known to as many people as possible.
Yeah. Now, Archbishop, when you were just kind of describing, you know, maybe an infestation in a house, you said the walls bleeding. What is that? Well, what would that look like?
It would look like some type of liquid element that would be dripping from the walls, running down the walls that would resemble blood. That's normally a retaliation from an evil entity. Because once we're present, we're representing the other side. This is a battle.
Right, and they don't like that.
They don't like that at all. When we do a house blessing, for example, the phenomenon can continue for 3 or 4 days afterwards, and then it winds down, and then it totally dissipates. And that's very normal as well. Spirits become very, when I say spirits, I'm referring to the demonic entities, they become very annoyed. They want to stay where they're at. If they are, if they have an attachment to an individual, if a person has demonic oppression, for example, they want to stay with that person. They want to wear that person down to a point where that person will give up their will, give up their hope. They're totally alienated. They find themselves in a deep state of depression. They're no longer communicating with family members. And as a result, you know, things start escalating from there. It can be very, very serious.
Yeah.
That's why
now, if someone's being possessed, can they become sick?
Oh yes,
like,
of course.
And so, like you're saying, that the entity wants to wear the body down and the mind down, so that it can possess the body,
and then what? Right.
Just like, oh, hey, I'm in this body, and
it will stay there. It will torment that individual until there is nothing left. They will stay with that person till the very last breath. They will not kill the person, but they will persuade the person to kill themselves because they'd be tormented and tortured in such a way. It's a horrible, horrible process that these poor victims go through, and you see it because their physical form can actually change.
Mm-hmm.
Their eyes can become a solid color, for example. The texture of their skin can be altered to a pasty color. Their hair color can even change. Not to mention, of course, you know, we're all familiar because of the various movies and so on in regards to what the signs of possession is, but it's very, very true when it comes to if an individual can speak many languages that they've never learned before, or they have super incredible strength, 3 times the amount of strength that anyone would have if they were that size and weight.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the ability to predict the future or know facts that no one else would know about the individuals who are present, then not even I haven't even touched the area where the violence comes in. Extremely violent. One of the main reasons that we and this is only, of course, through demonic possession, we suggest that the individual is tied to a chair or to a bed or some, you know, in this instance. And of course, this is after, again, it's after all the evidence has been reviewed, and this is when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is a possession. Well, then we go through the process. It's a an exorcism can be a very physical, tiring type of process that go on people who are not trained to do the actual process. Can not only hurt the individual, but they can place themselves in harm's way as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a supernatural scenario, and so it's you have to know and be willing to submit yourself to the training that our organization provides to
Yeah, absolutely.
Clergy,
and what a great organization you have, Archbishop. Now, have you ever been harmed in one of the exorcisms?
Oh, yes. Last year, actually. I was doing a ritual, and I was struck three times. It felt like a 2x4. Right across my rib cage. And it took my breath away. A week later, I had to, I was admitted to San Antonio Hospital in Upland. I was in there for a month. And they found a sack of blood that was around my heart. It was about 2 liters of blood. I had 3 operations while I was there. It was all as a result of this demonic attack. The doctors, to this day, have no idea how I was able to come to this type of diagnosis, because they had no idea as to what it was.
Wow.
This is what you call definitely a bona fide supernatural phenomenon. I was attacked physically, and I had been attacked many times in the past years. I've had lamps. Yeah, I've had chairs thrown at me. I've been struck in the head with a lamp. I've had all kinds of crazy things happen. And truth be known, even to this day, I'm constantly being attacked. I have scratches that will appear out of nowhere, burn marks, all kinds of physical things. And this is all part of what one has to expect. When you go into battle, you are bound to get wounded or traumatized somehow, and I've done this for so many years. It's been almost 34 years now, so it's been a long time. And as a result, I've been beaten. But the worst that has ever happened to me was last year when I was placed in the hospital for a month and had these 2 operations, and that was the worst. And I have to tell you, it really pushed me. It kind of brought me to the. It pushed me back to a point where I had to reevaluate. You see, what we do before we do a ritual, we prepare ourselves. We fast for at least 3, 4, 5 days. We pray constantly. I mean, lots of meditation even before we make an attempt to do a ritual. And so, I mean, I reflect at times, and I say to myself, well, maybe I wasn't as prepared as I should have been for that assault to take last year. That was incredible. I mean, that was incredible. Fortunately, I have a lot of friends on Facebook that have, when I was in the hospital, they were calling me, and they would, you know, wish me well and so on, and I was so pleased to. And I give them so much credit.
In this instance, where you were hit, where you, in you know, and then that caused you to be in the hospital. Were you able to get rid of that demonic spirit in that exorcism case?
When it happened, the wind was actually it was struck from me. I mean, I couldn't even catch my breath, but I continued the ritual. And I have to tell you, it was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do, because it was like literally being hit by a 2x4 three times on my left side. And, you know, now that I think about it, you know, that could be a demonic way of mocking the Holy Trinity. I was hit 3 times. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Trinity. And as I think about it, you know, it's quite interesting. I couldn't breathe, and yet when I went through the whole scenario, I was told afterwards, like a week later, that the entity did dissipate. However, a month or two passed, and then I was told that it came back, and it was station at this point. And so, it was kind of crazy. Now, in order for a ritual to take place and for it to be successful, the individual, that is the victim, has to be willing to follow our suggestions in terms of how to live their life. If they're willing to make the modifications, and if they're willing to follow our advice, the odds are that that they're never going to have a problem with demonic entities. However, if for some they decide to go back to their old lifestyle, or if they decide to continue their practice in the occult, or whatever instrument that led them to the area of being possessed or at least demonically oppressed, then the odds are it's going to happen again. You know, there's no quick fix. An exorcism can take anywhere from a day to a week, to several months, to even a year or so.
Wow.
It's a continuing, it's going back, it's repeating the prayers in a repetitious fashion, saying the ritual over and over again. And then the important thing is, when you've said the prayers, and of course, you know, you're well prepared to do this, you're there, you're saying the prayers, then you command the demonic to identify themselves by name. And sometimes, this could take forever, well, it seemed like forever anyway, if it's more than one demonic, which is very possible, a person could have many demons, not just the one, which means that the whole process would be would take a lot longer because you have to identify each entity.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's...
Have you ever come across the same demonic entity at a different location or...
Yes, yes, yes. It seems like the demonic has a network going on. It's like the internet, you know. They can communicate with one another. I believe that's just my personal belief. And yes, I've come across the same demonic entity, or at least they identify themselves as the same. And the thing is, it's not so much as for what they say, it's their behavior. Their personality seems to surface and manifest in that individual. And, so it can be very recognizable. It's funny, I'm on the internet, I'm looking at YouTube, and I'm looking at all these cases of demonic entities and so on. And then I can see there's so much garbage on the internet that it's so not accurate. But then again, every once in a while I'll run across a case where there's actually some Catholic priest will do an exorcism and it's recorded, and then I would hear the demon's voice, and you know what? It's funny because you hear the voice and you know it's a demonic voice. You know it's not some type of fabrication from some psychotic person, but you hear the garbled voice. It's a voice that is so you might find this interesting. I'm talking to one of our members on the phone, and we got interrupted. A third party interrupted us. And what it was is, it was not a person. It was a demonic voice that came through the telephone. I'm talking to this priest.
God.
And we're having this private conversation, and the demon breaks into our conversation and starts cursing and doing all this profanity. And then it directs its attention to yours truly, and I recognize the voice. And it was a demonic entity from years ago. For some reason, I believe, and again, this is just from personal belief, I believe that a demonic entity does not have a body, but has a spirit. And it can utilize the electronics, whether it be telephone, computers, whatever. They can get into the electronics and actually communicate or create some kind of problems, technical problems, whatever the case may be. And I've mentioned this one time to a bishop I know, and he totally disagrees with that type of scenario. But I believe it's probably possible. And a lot of paranormal investigators, they have their EVP apparatuses, and they'll pick up sounds from a recorder. And again, I think it's the same type of scenario. I think the demonic entities have the ability to interfere with the electronic signal, and as a result, either create a voice, because they have no vocal cords unless they're they're mm-hmm. in the body of someone they are possessing. But I think it's very possible.
I've heard that before, too, Archbishop, just in other people I've talked to, that there's others that do believe that. I think that's totally possible.
Yeah,
what do you think, Jason?
No. Well, you know, as he's talking about this, I'm wearing a headset, and I'm really, really listening to what's happening in the background. I did have a question, and that question is, you know, with the duality of good and evil and everything in this universe, if these beings are out to get us and cause us havoc, what surely there must be angels or positive entities that are trying to thwart their efforts. Is that correct, and would that be pertinent to somebody that, you know, isn't a Catholic?
Okay, understand. Okay, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, the demonic doesn't care what denomination you follow. They're out there. We're in a battle. This is a war. And there's good and evil. There's demonic entities, and they're Lucifer's soldiers, if you will, Satan's soldiers himself. And then you have the angels and archangels like St. Michael, and they're fighting on our behalf. But we also have to interact. You know, we have to decide what side we're on. If we're going to be on the side of good, then obviously we need to allow our lives to reflect that and allow us to be good in not only our words but in our actions. If we choose to be on the other side of the table, well, all types of things can happen. And as a result, it could wind up in possession, demonic possession, and then death, and which is, it's either one or the other. And so this is a very real scenario. And by the way, the demons, their whole job is just waiting. They're just waiting for an opening. They're waiting to attack us. They're waiting to become attached to us. They're waiting and just waiting and listening and watching us as we react to certain things. And, you know, as I said earlier, if you have a mind and average intelligence, the odds are you're going to be an open target. We have done a lot of rituals where the family members were children, and they were autistic, and they were able to see these entities, hear these entities. And as a result, they were able to interact with these entities. And we did a ritual a little while back where this little boy was autistic. And as soon as I walked into the house, the lights started to flicker. Our presence was known because of who we represent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And as a result, you know, we have to be totally, completely aware of our surroundings because we could be attacked at any time. We're on the front line. And as I said, I'm often attacked. The other night, I'll mention this to you, the other night, it was, maybe 11, 12 o'clock, and I was had the lights out in the house, and I decided to go to the bathroom, and as I start to go, I passed, something was there. I looked up, and there was a dark shadow, a dark entity. And I didn't have a chance to react because as I walked, I looked up, there it was, and it went right through me. Now, I felt this energy that went through me for that split second. And of course, I felt, you know, I've had this, we used to call them these goosebumps, you know, all over.
Oh, yeah.
That happens. And so it was interesting. Now I don't know how we got off on that, but that was just that reason that happened just recently. I said maybe
now,
that's.
So, you know, in the place where I reside, you know, I've had some objects move. I've seen things out of the corner of my eye. For the average person that experiences kind of these mild things going on, how is one to determine whether or not it's a demon or something else? I mean, are there earthbound spirits that have an ability to move things?
There's that belief system is out there that there are human spirits that are that have some type of trauma that occurred before their passing, or perhaps they were serial killers and they refused to go any further and decided to just remain earthbound. Then there, of course, again, that belief system is out there. As a Catholic, our belief system is that these poor souls are in purgatory. And as a result, when you see these entities moving, of course, you have to be open to it. You have to understand the possibilities and believe the possibilities that these things do exist. Once you do believe that, then you start seeing things that where most people are totally oblivious to. Once you allow your belief system to be open to the possibility of a spiritual entity, then no doubt you will see one, whether it be at the corner of your eye or whether it be, as I said last week, as I walked into my bathroom, this dark spiritual entity walked through me, split second. I looked up, I saw its face. It was maybe an inch or two taller than I was, but it's the shape of an individual, came right in as a dark silhouette, went right through me, and I felt it. I felt that entity go right through me. And so I say to you that if anyone has that belief system where they believe these things can happen, the odds are you will see or witness some type of supernatural event such as that.
Because I remember when I, many years ago, me and a bunch of friends, a bunch of them were in their car. I was in my own car pickup by myself, and they were following me to a location. And then when we got there, everybody in the car that was behind me, there three or four people were like, who was that sitting next to you? Everybody in their car saw a man sitting in the passenger seat with his head turned towards me. I mean, like, what's that about?
Yeah, let me share a story with you, if I may. In fact, I have a lot of stories to share with you. All of them 100% true, and I'm not exaggerating in any detail whatsoever. I was in the bathroom. I have had these great experiences in the bathroom. I don't know why, but I was in the bathroom, okay? And I was taking a shower. Now, I have a mirror. The mirror is like right over the faucet where the water would come out. I have a mirror right there where I would shave as I'm taking a shower. A lot of us men do that from time to time. I looked in the mirror, and I saw an image. The image, now, this is going to take you back, but so help me God, this is the God's truth. This image literally opened the curtain, and I could see in the mirror a what looked like a skeleton with a black hood. Now, so help me God, this is God's truth. I looked in the mirror, and I saw this image with a black hood, and it looked like a skeleton. And and when I think back, it looked like a skeleton that had
like
these motorcycle sunglasses, okay? And it looked like with the hood, and it looked like, but actually what it was these dark, deep, dark, shallow eye socket pits, if you will, in the space. So it looked like a skeleton with a black hood. I looked up, I saw this image. I will never forget it. And to this day, I say, when I bring the story up, I say it must have been Satan himself, because this was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Did
well,
you get a really scared feeling when you saw that?
No, it threw me back a little bit, because I've seen these things before. Threw me back a little bit, and so what I normally do is I start praying. I don't know why I do that, but I do that. But when those things happen, so,
well, you are a priest, so.
I was in this downtown Skid Row hotel doing a house blessing, and this was a long ritual, if you will. I thought I was there to do a house blessing. It turned out it was a person who was had a demonic entity, and at least the manifestations of it right before my very eyes. I normally, when we go out to do a ritual, an exorcism, we have at least one or two assistants. Most of the time, they're priests, and they will help in the ritual. You know, and then they read the responses and so on. I was there by myself because I just thought I had to do a house blessing. It turned out to be a lot more than that. Spent about, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 hours praying in that room. And as I'm praying, I'm seeing, I'm watching, witnessing all these shadow entities running, literally running around me. Now, I had the candles lit, and it was late at night, and I had some family members in the room with me. But these shadow entities, through the reflection of the candles, you could see these entities moving around. And it was like, it was, again, something to throw you back. I had to wind up in that hotel for about 3 days because, again, it was more than just a house blessing. Apparently, this hotel had a, it was over 100 years old, and there's quite a few hotels like that in downtown Los Angeles, over 100 years old with an incredible history. People committing suicides, people being murdered, lots of drug overdose, things of this nature. So, I mean, these places, they have a tremendous, horrendous type of history where human life was taken and as a result, something of them just simply lingered on in these walls.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I remember feeling the touching, very light touching, like almost the stroking around my arms and neck area. There was nobody there, of course. It was an invisible entity, and I could feel it going up and down your arms, and it was, and they were just there. They were just basically putting their hands physically all over me, and it, you know, I remember doing saying a series of prayers, and these things just simply dissipated, and they were gone. You know, we're constantly, especially if you're a priest, if you're an exorcist, you'll constantly have to be on your toes because you are the very first visible person that that the demonics would attack. And,
yeah,
of course, it's so important that we, even our investigators who are laity, they make the first contact and they witness. They would witness the manifestations of entities, spirits, even the demonic, in their immediate surroundings. And, of course, I always encourage our investigators to make point and make sure you record everything and make sure that you take lots of notes, because all this is all evidence that we could use in our assessment in order to go any further if the place needs to be exercised.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we have, like, a number of rituals that we could use, especially if a house is has an infestation, we could do what's referred to. It's an old ritual. It's the sealing of a property. And what we do is we go to all four corners of the property. We make a hole in the ground, 4, 5, 6 inches deep. We drop in some sacraments. We drop in a small cross, some holy water, some holy oil, some blessed salt. We say a prayer, and we repeat the process through all four corners of the house. This is what's referred to as sealing the property from any type of spiritual entities. It's a very powerful ritual, and we have to do this from time to time, especially if there's an infestation. And this protects the property and the people who live in the on the property. So it's just one of many things that we are called to do. And, of course, we only do these things when there's clear evidence that that these are being caused by some type of supernatural phenomenon and not anyone's mental illness or any other attempt in attention, which, you know, unfortunately we get a lot of that as well. So that's what we do.
Go ahead, Jason.
I do notice that we do have a caller in queue. Did you want to take a couple minutes to field a caller?
Sure.
Okay.
Great.
I know who it is. Hey, Evan, you're live on Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, hey, thank you. I just wanted to call and say hey to Archbishop Ron Vile, because it's been a little while, and we've had him on the show many times, and I love the guy to death. Great, great man, and it's always a pleasure, you know, listening to him. And I was just curious. I came into the show a little late, so I'm kind of at a little bit of a disadvantage. I took some medicine because I had worked all day, was tired, and then woke up and missed about 20 minutes of your show. But the question I actually have for Archbishop Ron Feil is, I've always wanted to know, and I haven't really asked him, but what is the most demonic case that you've been on yourself?
Okay, that's a good one. First of all, Evan, it's nice to hear your voice. I haven't heard from you in some time.
I know.
Hi, Evan.
Hi, Pat, by the way, and Jason. You know, it has been a while. Jason beat me to getting you on the show. Props to Jason. I'm actually clapping here. Awesome. I'm happy. We got a bunch of other shows, and we'll talk soon about that. But I've always wanted to know, you know, about what the most haunted case you've been on was, because I know there's been times where there was levitation and things flying and you were assaulted and things like that, and I never really got to hear too much about that.
Oh, well, it's, I'll tell you, it was a frightening scenario, but so help me God, it's an actual fact that you could physically be assaulted by demonic entities. When you put yourself in the front line and you start reading a ritual to rid someone or some element or some space from a demonic force, you're bound to feel the repercussions. Last year, I mentioned it briefly, I was attacked physically and I felt a 2x4. It felt like a 2x4 being swung full force on my my left ribcage. And the power was so strong that it took my breath away. And it was not just once, but three times. It was a bang, bang, and bang. I felt it. It was incredible. At the time, we were starting to do a documentary about the ritual and about demonics. And so we were captured this on film, where this actually took place. I felt the full impact. I continued with the ritual, and as I tried to walk it off, basically, if you will, a week later I wound up in the hospital for a month, and I was in intensive care for 1 month. Had three operations, and they found a sack of blood around my heart. It was 2 liters of blood. And then I was mentioning earlier that all my Facebook friends were calling me from various parts of the country and wishing me well, and I thought that was very nice. This Facebook scenario is a wonderful thing in terms of meeting new friends, but it's really neat when people get so concerned about your well-being. And so I'm always blessed when I'm contacted by anyone on Facebook. But when I was laying in the hospital, they were giving me breathing treatments. I was on oxygen for, I think, the first couple of weeks. I almost died. I came this close to death. That was probably the most severe that I have personally ever experienced in terms of being assaulted by an invisible entity. And yet I'm around, I had a lot of support. I had people around me when this happened. I guess they were filming it, but we also had maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 people around me when this happened. And this entity just pushed its way to the center of the room, found me there, and decided to give me both barrels. Okay. So that's probably the most severe case.
And that's obviously pretty darn severe, Archbishop. And we're so thankful that you're still with us and that you didn't, that it didn't get the best of you, because you're making such a great contribution to, you know, the whole exorcism world. And gosh, I can't thank you enough for being with us this evening. here on Paranormal Horizons. And now, are there any other questions for Archbishop Jason that have shown up in the chat room?
There was one question, and I don't think it was addressed, and it was quite a while ago.
Okay.
The listener wanted to know what demons look like. Do they have an identifiable form, or is it more like an energy?
I have seen demons as if I would see them. I've seen a kind of a gray, drawn face, always with hoods. This is what I have seen. I have been able to see these things because my mind, if you will, and my belief system is in such a degree where I could see these certain manifestations. But to answer your question, a demon does not have a body, does not have a physical form. A demon looks for a body to possess or to torment or to torture through demonic oppression. A demon has really no recognizable physical features. However, each demon has a personality that can be identified. You can identify a demon by their personality, by what they do, how they do it, and how they basically manipulate the body that they are possessed in, where the individual is acting on their behalf because they have no control, and as a result, you know, this can take place. Now, I've seen the demonic outside of human bodies. I've seen them in the spirit world, if you will. And again, you know, a lot of my colleagues will say, "Well, way Archbishop Ron is way out there," but maybe I am. But the point is, I'm telling you the God's truth. I've seen these things. I've seen a room full of demonic entities all around me, outside the body, outside a physical body. That is not in a possession type of scenario, but I'm talking about a spirit, as you would see, a full apparition of an individual. Well, this was a demonic individual. And the characteristics that I could remember, and the physical characteristics, again, only from what I could see in my impression, is that their face would be kind of a drawn, wrinkled, long, gray texture, a gray color, and always with a hood, always a black hood.
Hmm.
And that would be my, but again, you know, as I said, I have a lot of colleagues who would think that I'm way out there saying this. Same token, I can
now,
only tell you
Kevin,
my...
did you have any other questions for Archbishop?
It looks like he disconnected. He hung up. So I don't
he
think
did.
So.
Okay, so he took the, he was listening offline. Well, we are just about out of time, Archbishop File, and here on Paranormal Horizons, blogtalkradio.com. And again, our special guest, Archbishop Ron File with the Order of Exorcists of the
May I give my website address?
Yes, please, yes.
Absolutely.
It's and now this is website is not only a station where you can receive information, education regarding possession, regarding demonic entities. There's over 60 videos about real cases of demonic entities on our website. But it's also a contact person. If anyone needs help, if anyone has any feeling or a family member may be possessed, normally the family member is the person who contacts us, please go to our website, which is www.orderofexorcist.com. And if you can go there, there's a contact page. You have to please give us as much detail as possible as to what the situation is, what location you're at, your city, your state. A phone number, contact information is extremely important. And what we do is when we get these requests, I will see who we have in that state or in that country that could do a first evaluation, a first contact interview, and so on, and then we can get the ball rolling. But again, my website is www.orderofexorcist.com.
That's great, and it's a great website, everybody.
Oh, by the way, one other thing before I forget, our services are free. We don't charge anything because this is a ministry. This is a ministry of exorcism. We never charge a thing. So these are free. Anyone who needs our help, that's how you contact us.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what a great service. All right, and we'll post your website on our Facebook page as well, Archbishop, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I just admire you so much for what you do, and you know, thank you for your service to the people.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk to us. I know I'm thoroughly freaked out now, so I got to go make sure watch something that's
both
not
really Lord bless you guys, and stay safe, because you're in a dangerous business, you know. So stay safe, guys.
Yeah, and I'm taking good advice, and everybody out there, you need to protect yourself at all times. So, because as Archbishop File has shared with us, there is good and evil in this world. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Good night, Archbishop. We'll talk with you again.
Good night. Take care of yourself.
Good night.
Goodbye. Good night.
Oh, all right, Jason. That was fascinating.
It was. And, you know, I'm really going to be afraid of looking in mirrors now. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I'm highly suggestible. And now I know I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. So.
Yeah. Well, I think some of the things that he talks about are... I mean, I'm like you. I mean, I can be, gullible, but I really believe what he says, and I think that there, those of us that are kind of more aware and believe in paranormal and things like that, that we have had experiences like your experience, Jason, of you driving by yourself. You thought you were by yourself, and your friend said, "Hey, who was that guy in the truck with you?"
Yeah,
and,
creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy. But so it just goes to show that we do have to protect ourselves. Now, one point that the Archbishop made, though, was that, people who are generally thinking, overall a good person, thinking good thoughts, doing good things, you're not in that evil world, if you will. I think that we're okay. But yeah, and every time I've talked to Archbishop and other people about demonic, they always say, demons are clever.
Yeah.
And they can show themselves in different ways. They can come to you as the white light, archangel or whatever, but then, deceive people. And so that was kind of scary to think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's,
yeah.
I'm just going to not think about it and get it out of my mind.
I know. I'm probably just going to, watch TV and so, well, listen, Jason, I just want everybody to remind everyone that we broadcast every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com, and you can listen to this episode or any of the other past episodes by just going to the archives on that Blog Talk Radio site. And next week, we don't have a guest lined up because sometimes, Jason, we just do a roundtable discussion type show. But you never know, we may have a special guest as well.
Yeah, I'm the one that mainly tries to find the guests, and I like to do it on the fly. It's a bad habit. But, I really do enjoy when we just sit and talk about stuff that's going on out in the world. And maybe we should just go ahead and do that for next week. I'm sure we can come up with some good material.
Absolutely. We can think about that. And then we may have, a round table, another round table person, if you will, that wants to join our conversation. And that's always nice because there's so many things to discuss. There's conspiracy. There's angels. There's paranormal. There's demonic. Everything, And we'll come up with something that we find interesting, and look forward to that for next week.
Yeah. Well, what haven't we covered now? I think we've gotten all the main subjects. I think we need to find some do a little Bigfoot. And maybe we need to find somebody that talks about angels. We can kind of cover both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, we haven't really had an angel person yet, and I know there's definitely some good people out there that we could get on, and I'll have to look at my contact list because I've talked to a couple people before on the radio about angels. That would be a good subject, so maybe we'll do that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, we will talk with you next week. I'm Pat Rice signing off.
And I'm Jason Ophir, and like she said, we'll talk to you next week, and everybody have a fantastic evening.
All right, good night.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.